This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. The award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. With powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management, Constant Contact helps the small stand tall. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com.
Celtic Stuff Live.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. I'm your host, Justin Poole, and joining me, as always, John Duke, and thank God it's over. What a painful season. And the playoffs seem to be going okay in the first round, but no. Total butt whoopage by Giannis, the Greek Freak, and the Milwaukee Bucks. And John, you and I talked even before we came on. It's like, do we even want to talk about this? Like, it's so divisive. It's really frustrating. The playoffs went just like the season did. You know, you got your hopes up and then they came down really fast. And I would say, honestly, the turning point for me, and you can go back to my Twitter comments and see just how much of a voracious turning point it really was. But the officiating in game three, I didn't act any better than the players did. My response to it was pretty poor, but I also think that, you know, it also brought out the worst from the regular season in the team. And this is why we know the foundation of culture, you know, and collaboration just wasn't there on this club. It was a divided locker room. We'll obviously talk about Rozier's comments, and we are going to get to the draft lottery, but we can't get to any of that until we put this season to rest and take a look back at the postseason. And that's really what I saw was game three was really a turning point. And, you know, we'll get into the Kyrie discussion too, I'm sure, just because, and maybe that's part of this, but obviously, you know, I don't think I've seen, and I tweeted this out, I don't think I've seen the Celtics fan base be this divided since the Antoine Walker trade, and not over a player. There's been some, you know, interesting moments and differences in opinions amongst the, but this one is divisive. People are literally getting upset about this.
Yeah, and I saw you. You know, we tweeted that. I thought that was a really good call on your part because I agree. This is the division. There is a stark line right now. And I think maybe some of the comments Terry Rozier made, to ESPN on ESPN's airwaves here on Tuesday may soften some of that. And I think time will soften some of that, but you're absolutely right. This was uncharacteristic of every Brad Stevens team, every Doc Rivers team. I mean, this was a laydown job in games 3, 4, and 5. It was, you know, probably one of the more, and arguably game 2, I suppose, the blowout that they barely came back on. It was one of the more dispiriting events of Celtics fandom, you know, and folks who go back to 83.
I was going to say, since you and I did this, right?
Absolutely.
Like, since you and I have started this show, I think it's been
never this bad.
Not quite 15 years, but we're coming up on 15 years of live broadcasting and podcasting over the internet of the Boston Celtics. And we didn't even get started until after that Antoine Walker trade. It was right after what really juiced us into this was, hey, Danny Ainge is coming on board. This could be a real shift in direction for the organization. We think they're headed, you know, towards something positive. And then that trade and that was the fuel that ignited so much Celtics interest. And really that whole debate and everybody saying, wait a second, look at the new players that are coming in. And it's similar in some ways to what we're seeing now, but but not the same at all. And when they traded Antoine Walker, I mean, I think we were doing a show within, you know, 18 months, if not sooner than that, after that trade, because of the discussion it generated from that divisive scenario amongst the fan base. And it, and regular media didn't want to talk about the team then. Obviously they do now, and Kyrie's a big part of that. But yeah, since then, I don't think in the history of Celtic Stuff Live, we've gone through this divisive of a fan base around the team and the players.
And even then, though, it wasn't even so much about the team as much as about a player. I mean, I think that certainly there were bad times. The Patino years weren't good. You know, ML Carr and obviously the death of Reggie Lewis. But in terms of a team, a disliked team, and even broader than Kyrie Irving and the divide that he's created, the team, and going back to the 83 team, perhaps, that got swept by the Bucks. Again, that was a team. It wasn't about ability. It was about mental makeup and a will to fight. And that's why, you know, so much of what we're going to talk about here over the next 6 to 8 to 12 weeks of how this team shakes out for the 2020 season is, and beyond probably, is so much about mental makeup. And it's not about what they're capable of doing on the floor. It's a question of what their mindset is, how that's triggered and how that's angled towards a positive result and a collective effort. And what we saw in games 2 through 5 against the Bucks was probably the least team-centered approach. And in fact, Giannis said today they knew even losing game 1 to the Celtics, they never felt like they had to worry. They would worry about, you know, Toronto, because they knew that, you know, they were not facing a tough-minded team. And
that's horrendous. That is a real statement, right? Not to mention the Bucks players in the locker room, you know, leaking out stuff, you know, about the Celtics and, you know, just how Kyrie, you know, handled himself, on the floor and being upset about the officiating. And believe me, I was upset too, but there are a lot of reports that Kyrie does have pretty gigantic mood swings and tends to hang his head. And I would say that bore out 100% on the floor from the standpoint of, you know, he said after game 2, I know how to make the right reads and I need to make the right reads. The problem with Kyrie is he committed to making the right reads in the next 3 games, but only for short periods of time. If the other player's shots didn't fall, he gave up on them. The problem is he continued to shoot just as poorly. And the whole thing, that was bad leadership. That's where I think people are frustrated with Kyrie, and he definitely did not come as promised. I won't say as advertised, but as promised. What he said he was going to be, you know, for this team in terms of being a leader, et cetera, you know, his hanging his head and easily falling into that trap of, you know, oh, well, if you guys aren't going to hit the shots, I'll take it upon myself. Right. You know, was really, it was a poor display. Now he is 26. And plenty of players fall into that trap and rebound and become great players. And there's plenty of time for that to happen. And he will probably find that way. And he'll be a completely different player 6 years from now at the age of 32. And maybe he'll be in LA with LeBron, or maybe he'll be in New York with Kevin Durant, or maybe he'll be in Boston Green. But he's still got some maturing to do. And that's what I mean about him not coming as promised.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely fair. I mean, the knives have been out for Kyrie Irving before game 5. I mean, really after game 4, there was a dead man walking sense around the team. And, you know, this is a team that was ready to lay down at that point. And that's leadership.
Follow the leader, right? I mean, if you want to take that mantle, that's great, but you know, everybody followed your lead then. You said, this is me. And so the results of the team directly are, you know, relating to the way that you led them.
So, you know,
and does it go on Brad too? That's the real question.
I was kind of going there, because to me, this is all about the mindset, right? And before going to Brad, you know, is this something that he can come out of? And I think that's not a question we want to answer right now on the show, but you look at where the 2018 Celtics were and the 2018 Celtics with Kyrie Irving were, and it was a very different place. And so you have to look at all of those everything that went into what made this team what it is and try to figure out, is Kyrie Irving that person? Is that who he is permanently? Or were there a confluence of factors? And you look at what, you know, Rozier said today before, which was kind of interesting, before Kyrie said, you know, if you'll have me back, I'll stay at the preseason event there. He said everyone was together before that, which is a really weird thing to say. You would think, oh, everyone's all in now that Kyrie's staying, but he felt like that was a place where division started. So I don't know what that means, but it kind of jumps to the other thing Rozier talked about, is how,
well, it definitely insinuates what we think about Rozier and Rozier losing his opportunity to grow his career to Kyrie, and then the dissension in the locker room about Kyrie. Like, the question really is, Rozier's the one who is willing to, you know, he's the one that wants out, right? And maybe he wants out regardless of whether or not they keep Kyrie, right? Maybe he's just saying, get me out of here, and forcing his way out. And that's what it looks like to me. But that doesn't mean that there aren't strings of truth, and that it may, what we don't know is how much it extends beyond Rozier, because Marcus Smart is telling a completely different story. But see, Marcus Smart might have to play alongside Kyrie for the next 4 years. You never know how that's going to play out. That's a smart move. Rozier is all about burning this bridge, and intentionally so, because he wants to move on and get an opportunity elsewhere. And so how far do his comments stretch inside of that locker room? I don't think we'll know for quite some time.
But I think you can see the lines of truth in both of them. You know, with Kyrie, or I should say with Smart, you know, kind of thrown aside to the leadership. Kyrie's leadership was a problem. You just have to look at the motivations of each player. Kyrie, you know, Marcus Smart has got his money. Marcus Smart, 4 years, $52 million. He's set, man. You know, he's in a good position. He knows what he does. He's, you know, other than all first team defense, maybe an all-star nod if he really grows his game, but that's who he is. You've got Terry Rozier, who's coming off a big Puma deal with t-shirts all over the place a year ago, a guy who's, you know, social media is blowing up all over the place. And now he's, as he said, he's gone from the front seat to the trunk. You know, you can just see what's going on there. And I
who
think
wouldn't be disgruntled?
He told himself.
Let's be honest. Yeah, who wouldn't you know what? Be That's, disgruntled?
Well, but look at Jaylen Brown. How did Jaylen Brown handle it? Jaylen Brown took a situation where he was awful in the first month and a half of the year.
Yeah,
and
he matured.
Turned himself, absolutely.
Yeah, he absolutely matured.
Big time credit. Big time credit.
Cannot move. And that's the whole thing now. I'm like, the culture that Brad sowed the seeds for Brown to do that. 100%. He is a maker of men. I don't know how else to say it, but when you already have established players, I'm just not sure. That's where Doc Rivers comes into play. That's the coach you want for guys like Kyrie. Brad's the coach you want when you're building it out of the draft and you're showing these guys, you know, again, how to be men. I really feel like it's, you know, there's this element of that's why he was good with college players. But if he can get them right out of college and teach them the right values and attitudes towards basketball, he can get any team to overachieve. And what I think is going to be sad if we don't get to see this play out the way, you know, maybe I had hoped before the Kyrie trade, it would just be so awesome to see Brad get to work that from start to finish. You know, a 28-year-old Brown and a 27-year-old Tatum, and whoever else they pick up along the way as they fight for a championship. And I've always said that's what I really enjoy watching, is the development of a team like that. And so, you know, Brad gets my vote of confidence that way. I'm just not sure that, you know, the Boston fan base is always that patient. And I know Danny loves to, you know, kick that timeline up. And, you know, we'll talk about the results of the lottery here, and we'll talk about the Pelicans and Anthony Davis, and there'll be lots of that conversation coming up. And I'll constantly put that yin against the yang of, you know, the what if. What if we let these players grow? I don't think Terry Rozier is as good as Terry Rozier thinks he can be. I think there's some limitations there. He turned down a $12 million 4-year deal. And I think that was probably pretty good money for him. And he could have collected a pretty sizable raise this season. And yeah, he might have been traded anyway, depending on what happened with Kyrie, but that would have just put him in the position he wanted to be in. He would have just had to eat a turd for a year. And he might get a little bit more money than that. If they move him, but I'm not so sure 100% there. And, you know, he lost out the money on this year by not taking the extension. And so we'll see how that all plays out. But one thing is for sure in my mind is definitely Tatum and Brown, and watching Brown, to your point, just come together in terms of maturity. I feel like that's a testament to Brad. It's a testament to Brown, and he was a bright spot.
Oh, big time. Big time. He was a bright spot. You know, he figured it out. He figured out how to be a pro. You know, I think that's the credit to him, is he figured out how to be a pro. He figured out how to take a situation, do what he does well, and let that play into what everyone else does. Now, the other guys and other, and what's great about that is he didn't let the dysfunction elsewhere impact what he did, and he let his focus be solely on what he does. Did he have off games? Sure. He wasn't an all-star every night. And, you know, that's not what I was looking for, but he was among the most consistent contributor from, say, March 1st until the end of the season. I think Jalen would probably, you know, would be among that list. Maybe you could throw Horford in there too, but I think those two guys would probably be at the head of the class of people who you felt like they really did what they had to do and lived up to their end of the bargain. You know, I think that he put himself in a very different position in the minds of Celtics fans. You know, for me, who looked at, well, you know, you want to keep Tatum, you're willing to give up Brown, that becomes closer now, you know. And I know, you know, and I know people will say, well, you know, there's this and that of why you wouldn't do that.
Well, Tatum had a tough year, right? I mean, after a very promising, but there's always a sophomore slump. You know, he's a player again who's a little bit, I don't want to say he's a volume shooter, but that's where he excelled last season, when the volume of shots went up. And that, and specifically when I referenced Kyrie's leadership, and when the other shots didn't fall, he started taking on his own shoulders. I mean, that's definitely a direct shot, not a shot, but the direct tie to Tatum. Cause Tatum, when his shots weren't falling, you know, those open shots from the outside, that was tough. And I think Tatum does need to get, he's a rhythm shooter. Let's at least say that. Whether he's a high volume rhythm shooter like Kyrie is, maybe not, but he's definitely a rhythm shooter, and he needs to get regular shots up. And so yeah, that differential is shorter, but I just want to bucket them. I don't want to say the two of them are a package. They do different things well. They play well off of each other. The success in the postseason last year, as much as Terry wants to lump himself in with those two, and he did have a fantastic postseason, a lot of it was because of what Brown and Tatum were doing.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to break up that duo. I'm not going to say that it's Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, but that's the two players that really kicked off the Golden State. Everything else came in around that. Right. But those were the two draft picks that really started to perform. And I can see that same kind of core with these two guys. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what will happen, because if Kyrie does go elsewhere, and I think Rozier is ensuring that he does regardless of that determination, what you're left with is Marcus Smart, Brown, Tatum, and probably an extended Horford, because he seems to like it in Boston. And all indications are that he's going to opt out and take a cap friendly deal and stretch it out, which is something that we had all hoped for. It would be nice for them to get a center, but that's still a decent team. And then obviously you've got Hayward, and hopefully what you're hoping for is that Hayward rebounds, you know, with a good season under his belt and an off season to prepare. And boy, are you crossing your fingers for that. Because as much as we want to talk about the Kyrie stuff, you know, Hayward's contract and the value of that contract is really tied to their future success. So we need him to really be able to get back to form with a full off season to get prepared. But if he does, you know, you've got a decent core there. What they really need is a center. And we saw that over and over. They just don't have the man in the middle. And, you know, they really need somebody rangy, you know, like.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't know. I don't know if they need a center. I think they need Al Horford. I think they need their power forward. I think you want Al Horford as your center, because you want to be able to stretch things out, and you want to be able to play pace and space. If you want a pace and space team, Al Horford is your best center possible. The question is, can you find a power forward who can do the things you need to do? You know, who can rebound and pass and shoot it from space, you know, and defend multiple positions. I think that's the piece that's missing, because I don't think you can have Al Horford at 33, 34 years old playing the power forward position, you know, and yeah, I know there's different, you know, positions don't matter, but I think he's your center. I think you just need to get better rebounding. I think as you're going into next season, if you do stick with Tatum on this team, he needs to
get... What if
they
moved Kyrie to the Pelicans for the next one?
Yeah, but, well, we'll...
Yeah.
Let me finish this thought. We'll jump into that.
And we're going to do the ad read, and we'll jump right into the lottery.
Yeah.
Right, good deal.
I mean, Horford, I should say, Tatum, what I wanted to see, if you believe that the Celtics' best lineup this season, potentially, going into it, was Hayward, Brown, Kyrie, Horford, and Tatum. You looked at that lineup and you said, where's the rebounding going to come from? You know, who's going to be able to handle the power forwards on the other team? The guys who, you know, if they go two bigs, who's going to be
We didn't have anybody.
We didn't, exactly.
That's why you were and that's I were debating problem. Whether or not Baines was the starting center.
But even if you start, like, that's not even like, even if you start, you end up with a situation
still the same problem throughout the game.
Exactly. You still end up with a spot where your best lineup struggles rebounding and struggles on the defensive end. So how do you fill that gap with those guys in there? Now, if you say Anthony Davis is part of this team and you play him next to Horford, well, problem solved. Okay, problem solved, because he's a defensive player of the year candidate every year. He can rebound like nobody's business, all set. But if you go in with those five guys, it's a problem. And so if that trade doesn't happen and you just start with these same guys, you need Jason Tatum to be a better rebounder and a better defender. You know, and he didn't do that this year consistently. There were games he rebounded very, very well, but there's a lot of minutes that went Marcus Morris.
They're not in the right spot. Yeah, well, they're not in the right spots. Brown should be at shooting guard, and Tatum should be at small forward. And if they played in that part of the line, then you have a really long, you know, wing tandem, and even Marcus Smart at point guard, you know, a total facilitator, and you get shots for those guys. And then we look for offense and defense and rebounding from Horford and said player that's missing. You know, I think you really, and I think Hayward's coming off the bench, unfortunately, which is, you know, kind of weird for the salary level, but we're going to have to table that. That debate is going to have to continue. We have to talk about the lottery, or people are going to turn this podcast off thinking, what are you guys talking about? That just happened last night. And, you know, what does that mean now that we have, you know, information leading up to the draft? But before we do that, speaking of losing hair sucks. And I didn't realize how much I cared about mine until my son noticed that I had started losing it. Keeps is the easiest and most affordable way to keep the hair you have. These FDA-approved products used to cost so much, but now, thanks to Keeps, they're finally inexpensive and easy to get. For 5 minutes and just $1 a day, you'll never have to worry about hair loss again. Getting started with Keeps is so easy. Sign up takes less than 5 minutes. All you have to do is answer a few questions and snap some photos of your hair. Then a licensed physician reviews your information online and recommends the right treatment for you. And it's shipped right to your door every 3 months. Keeps offers generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products that are out there. Some of them you have probably tried before, but you've probably never gotten them for this price. Keeps is only $10 to $35 a month. Plus, now you can get your first month for free. That's one hell of a deal for getting to keep your hair. So to receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/stuff. That's KEEPS.com/stuff. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/stuff. Keeps, hair today, hair tomorrow. All right, John. So I didn't want to just totally cut that conversation off.
No, it's,
but that's an on, we're going to be talking that. About that yeah. every single week for the next month and a half, 2 months,
yep.
You know, and then, well, I guess month and a half. And then, you know, we're going to be into the free agency talk, which will, you know, kind of be part of all that debate anyway. Mm-hmm. But the lottery, interesting results. The Pelicans rumored to be willing to wheel and deal for the number one overall pick, you know, with the Knicks having a high likelihood of getting that, wind up leapfrogging everybody, moving into that number one slot. So Zion Williamson, not necessarily the guarantee, but maybe the heir apparent to a traded Anthony Davis, right? Like, really odd for them to move up into the one slot, or maybe they go a different direction, like I kind of alluded to before. Who knows what they do with that pick, but interesting that they jumped up. And in doing so, the Celtics, we kind of know that the tiebreakers didn't go their way, and some of the valuable picks that they thought were kind of devalued. They end up with 14, 20, and 22. And the real takeaway here is that probably the most valuable pick is the one that wasn't conveyed this year that I thought was going to get conveyed. The odds of that one actually deferring to next year were pretty low. And thankfully, Memphis's pick owed to the Celtics does defer, because this draft is not super deep outside of a couple of players at the top. And so I think everybody would like to see this move to next year. It also makes the pick more valuable in any kind of a trade if they do decide to package it. Depth issues abound potentially depending on what happens in the offseason. These picks at 14, 20, and 22, they could actually go with some of the older guys in the draft that know how to play just to build some single year depth on that roster if it's necessary. None of them are going to get a ton of playing time. Or they could elect to take a couple of home run swings as well, but I almost see it as a depth building draft for them if they keep these picks this year.
That's not happening.
You think they're all getting spun out?
Yeah.
Are you convinced on Anthony Davis? Why?
I mean, who else?
If they don't get Anthony Davis, what happens to these picks?
Let me say this. I am not going to spend the next 6 weeks talking about Rui Hachimura and, Bol Bol and Cameron Johnson. I mean, look, I can do that. You know, I can do that. You know, I'm willing to sit there and talk about depth pieces that can build around this team, but This whole thing.
You just wanted to be so sexy, but how many times have they wound up making these picks?
Come on.
These picks have no value in a deal for Anthony Davis.
That doesn't matter.
For the same reason that you're saying they're not valuable enough for you to get, you know, all hot and...
If anyone is going to listen to this show, they're not going to want to listen to us talk about the 14th, 20th, 22nd pick.
I agree with you.
Nobody cares.
I 100% agree with you.
We'll turn off the podcast on that one.
All right. So now we sound like the Boston media.
No. In all seriousness, there are depth pieces, but this is a bad draft. If you trade away pieces, to get Anthony Davis or to, you know, Bradley Beal or whatever you're going to do. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, probably trading away all those pieces makes no sense because you need low priced players to build around the max players that you're going to have on the roster. If the ultimate goal is, you know, Kyrie, AD and, you know, Hayward and something else, then you need to have these young players, growing into roles and ready to contribute, and not in a Terry Rozier sort of way, but in an actually I'm accepting my role and I'm playing it behind the superstar kind of way. And that's the ultimate goal, I guess.
Well, anybody drafted in the 20s has to kind of look at it that way. You know, pick number 14 wouldn't be ordinarily all that bad, but in this draft
it is.
It's probably a 20s pick anyway. And so you're basically looking at three 20s picks. You know, they did get Rajon Rondo in the 20s. Like, there's players that sometimes rise from an area where you didn't expect them to. We always see those second round home runs. So it's like Zarin said, I think last year, you know, the more swings of the bat, the better odds you are at getting a great player, you know, but the odds of getting a great player this low are low, right? So more swings of the bat, they'll have a few of them. Those players who do wind up panning out don't necessarily just jump right out at you in year one either. It's not necessarily a rookie thing. That's why I almost feel like they're just looking for depth picks. Get some semi-Ogilvies. You know, get some players that can do a couple of things really well. Brad will know exactly when and how to slot them in. You know, a good junior or senior rebounder. You know, somebody who's a little undersized but can go in situationally and grab some boards would be a great pick.
I agree. I agree with that. I mean, right now, I brought up Sam Vecenie's, his mock on the Athletic. You know, he's got Brandon Clark, who the, you know, kind of perfect as kind of that like weak side shot blocker, rebounder. I mean, really would be a good fit. Not much offense, but we're talking about if he could grow into that role of being a guy who could do what Semi does, but maybe a little bit more offensive game and grow into that as that kind of fifth guy in that starting lineup. That would be a great fit. I would think you'd want to, that 14th pick is gone. You know, it's going to be gone in a pick, gone in a trade. So I don't think you're going to have the 14th pick if you're making the deal. It's going to be the later picks that you may be, you know, stashing and using. But you know, yeah, I mean, there's depth pieces, but to me, this, the future of the franchise is not about the depth. It's about, are they going to make this trade? And in a way, the lottery couldn't have worked out better because, I mean, you would have loved to see the Knicks and the Lakers further down, really, if you want a Davis trade. But if you, you know, but the fact that they didn't get one and they didn't get two really puts both teams in a position where they're going to really have to scratch and claw. The Knicks being in the third spot, there's not a whole lot you can pair with Barrett or with, you know, Moran if he goes third. There's not enough there really to make a deal, I don't think. I think the Celtics can beat any deal that the Knicks can put together. You know, I think that the Lakers, the fourth pick, you're really scratching it. And you've got what, you know, Brandon Ingram with, you know, the issues he's having. I mean, it just seems like
you really want to go in on Davis, don't you?
Well, you have to get the top five players.
So you've got to keep Kyrie too then.
No, I don't think you have to, but I think you really need to, you know, it's like 90%, you know, I mean, it's like a 90% thing. If he stays, then you feel pretty good about him sticking around. If you're at 100, you know, I don't feel great about trying. I think it's 50-50 if you get Davis and you don't have Kyrie stick around. But I think he's going to stay. I think Kyrie's going to stay. I think Davis is going to get traded here. And this team is going to look completely different a year from now. I got the green glasses on, man, I guess. I guess I'm saying I got the green glasses on and I'm saying this thing's going to work. Because I think they're going to find a way to get it down with Kyrie Irving. They're going to say, look, stop being such a moron. And I think he's going to own up to it. He's never has before. There's nothing in his history that indicates that he will. But I think he's going to learn from this situation. He's going to have to come back with humility. He's going to have to come back with a desire to change his ways, change his attitude. But he's also going to be the number two guy, not the number one guy. And the number one guy in Davis is going to be, you know, feted. He's going to be honored. He's going to be, you know, but he's going to be in a very different scenario than he's ever been in the NBA. He's going to be surrounded with talent. He's going to be surrounded by a coaching and a front office that knows how to take advantage of who he is. So I think that's the way it's going to go. I am all in. Got my Celtics green glasses on. It's going to happen. Boom. I know. We're going to keep the two J's, and we're going to be here in, you know, fourth, fifth.
There is phenomenal YouTube.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
Dude, it's a flat tire, dude. There's no way. Listen.
What are you talking about?
There's no way Kyrie is going to come back and be second fiddle. There's no way he's going to have this like change of heart that you're talking about. It's ludicrous.
No,
it's the not. Only thing that's going to change his attitude is winning. And so if Davis comes and those two, you know, commit to each other and really nobody else on the team, and Davis makes Kyrie better so that Kyrie doesn't have all that attention and he starts making shots again. And I know you're saying, yes, he will be the number two if Davis comes. You're 100% right about that, but he will never see that in his own mind. Not ever. He's going to be the leader. He's going to have the ball in his hands, and every ounce of success that, you know, he and Davis have together, he is still going to take an enormous amount of credit for. There's just no way that his attitude is going to change that much just based on him in the off season going, oh, I need to change my ways.
I think you're wrong about that because
winning is the only thing that'll solve it.
And maybe that's true because last year they were winning and they were successful and they found, and we didn't have any of this. There wasn't any of this talk about Kyrie being too cool for school, Kyrie big timing players, Kyrie talking about the young guys. The young guys were even younger last year, right? They're even younger. We never had any of that talk. Why? Why was it different? It was different because
who are we getting rid of?
Kyrie didn't have the specter of free agency over his head. He didn't have videos of him talking in hallways. Memphis, he didn't have any of that stuff. Like that's important. Well, no, like this is the thing. Like if Kyrie is like, I don't know why you don't see this. Like the guy didn't have like he didn't have his brain like exchange for something else. He's the same guy. So what changed? The team changed around him. The expectations changed around him. The media changed around him. The expectations from the national media and all that. It all came down and it stomped on him. I think that will be gone. I think that matters. I think you bring in Davis, the expectations change and that matters. You won't have his backup with a knife in Kyrie's back coming for him. I mean, I think all those things matter.
I love how you just flipped the scary Terry graphic. Amazing. Amazing how you just flipped that. Scary Terry throwing a knife in Kyrie's back. Oh, dude. Listen.
I could take these off.
It's going to cost us everything. To get Davis, and both of these players have had knee issues. Scary shit.
Yeah, but okay.
So it's going to be
Ray
Allen.
Hold on.
Who's going?
And is Horford? Kevin Garnett had injury issues.
Kevin Garnett.
I mean, we could go do that.
What are you doing? Yeah, we can do that because it basically ended the Celtics' run. One championship. We could be building something really cool and we're going to trade it all in and that could happen. It could be, you know, what if Kyrie says, I want to do a 1-1 deal like Kevin Durant? Ooh.
No, yeah, they won't do it. I don't think the Celtics will do that. Well, they're going to have from 5 years.
Don't think that isn't an option. You know what I mean?
I don't think the Celtics are going to offer him. I think this is a two-way negotiation. I don't think this is a situation where the Celtics are going to say, oh, whatever you want, Kyrie. I think there's going to be a sit down and they're going to say, look, what do you want to do? And say, yeah, it didn't work out. And this is why we think it didn't work out. We need you to do this, this, and this. I think that they're going to be, I don't think that they're just going to, bend to whatever Kyrie wants. I think they're going to say, we want you here. We want you to, but we've got to do some things differently as a franchise and indirectly, well, directly saying, you got to change your ways, man. Can't run this team like that.
All right. So who are they trading for Davis then?
I think Tatum. I hate to say it, but Smart. And that's the bulk of it. And then it's picks. You want to say Gershon? You want to talk about Robert Williams?
Only whatever. Tatum, Smart.
Yes.
And picks.
You're trading for a guy that has a 1 year deal.
So we're going to have Brown, Hayward, Horford, Kyrie,
and then
this gives you the most roster balance,
right?
And then AD,
right?
And then you know Terry's gone, so the bench. Can you get Marcus Morris back? Do you have enough salary at that point? Not really.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, you didn't like him.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
Although he played of all the players in the final game,
he was good.
Biggest fighter out there. But I like that rumor of him going to New York. I could definitely see that happening.
Love it.
I don't love it. So who's the bench?
I don't worry about that right now. I'm not worried about it at all because you know what? No, what was the bench in 08? You know,
so
we get more of a bench now than we did then.
Yabusele plays the role of Big Baby.
You got Baines. Baines will probably re-sign for, you know, 4, 5, 6 million.
That's not a guarantee, right?
So it's pretty likely. I think he's as likely to return as Horford is. You know, Shemmy is back, so you'd have him. I mean, that's a pretty good,
Shemmy's good on the 3-and-D after you move all those players.
So, you know, you've got Kyrie, Jalen, I'm just counting numbers, Horford, Hayward, Ogilvy, Davis, and then you've, I mean, the question is, who else does New Orleans need? Do they need Robert Williams in the trade?
Yeah, they're going to take him. Well, I don't know. Not with the number one, maybe not with the number one pick.
I mean, Gershon, I mean, so 7-8 guys. I mean, you get a couple picks you'll probably end up with the end of the draft. So you get 10 players and you're going to sign.
You think they sign and trade Terry over there as part of the salary match?
I don't care. No, I don't think they can. I don't think there's a way to make that work. But either way, I think Terry is insignificant at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think they need him to make that match. Now, there's a potential they may have to throw in more if the Pelicans want to send out salary. So if they want to sell Solomon Hill or if they want to send out Etuan Moore, they may have to throw in some more of these players like, Vaselli or something. But to me, that's where this whole thing, sits. And even still, I mean, you're going to find guys who are looking to play on winning teams. You know, there's going to be players that are going to, there are going to be veterans
willing to fill
a role who can hit a shot or
get a vet minimum here and there. Yep.
Absolutely. There's an Eddie House out there. There's, James Posey, those are a little bit harder to find.
So
Gordon Hayward is still on your team.
Right. Well,
I mean, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, like that's pretty good.
Yeah. As the fourth and fifth options.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Well, probably third and fourth, but yeah, I mean,
you're going to put them ahead of Horford.
Yeah, because I don't think Horford's not a scorer. I mean, he doesn't,
No, he'll relish the defense and,
right.
But especially with Anthony Davis doing so much scoring in the post.
Oh my gosh.
So I just, I don't have to like them, right?
Yeah, you will, because they'll win. I mean,
so you think my attitude about the team will change with Kyrie's.
You'd be like Kyrie.
Change in attitude.
No, look, Kyrie's attitude has to change first. None of this is going to work. I know what you're saying, and I agree with it. I think, but Kyrie's attitude was fine to start the season. I don't know what Terry Rozier's talking about. And there was a little bit of this and that. But look how he played. He was every loose ball, every offensive rebound. I mean, taking charges.
Yeah, he did
the
have
first
the hustle.
2 months of the year.
He just hates losing.
He was
busting
his butt.
He's a bad loser. He's just a bad loser.
Sucks.
Bad loser. Yeah.
And so, okay, so that's,
you know,
that's
nobody likes to lose. I get it. That's it.
Yeah,
you summarized it. He's a bad leader.
But if you're a franchise leader,
I agree. But to your point, he's going to go a place where he can win. And if he's winning, nobody's going to care.
Right.
And so he's a poor loser. That's what it boils down to. He's not a role model for your children, but he's definitely driving towards winning. And if he wins, everything will be fine. The question is, can he face adversity? And the truth is, summarized poignantly, he cannot face adversity without a sidekick who is slightly better than him.
Right. And that's so, right. So how does that play itself out? How does
that's where the Anthony Davis thing comes into play.
But he's got to grow. He's got to be better than that. They're not going to be successful.
He can't Terry Rozier Anthony Davis the way he did LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just to use your visual about the knife in the back.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? We got so much more time for this, and this was a chaotic show. We were all over the place, and I'm definitely.
Well, it's been a week and a half, and a lot's happened.
I'm done with Kyrie, dude. So we'll just see how that all goes. I mean, we have the outtakes to do whatever we're going to do tonight.
Do you want the sunglasses? Do you want to borrow these?
Oh my god! Let me see if I can find this email before we go out. I got a listener who sent me an email. And, it's probably worth, this will be the outtakes. I'm going to wrap it and then this will be the outtakes. All right. So this broadcast will be available on demand on the CLNS Media mobile app. And don't forget, follow us on Twitter @CSL_Justin and @CSL_Duke. Heartfelt thank you to everybody for tuning in. And remember that you can help support the show by subscribing to Celtic Stuff Live on iTunes and Stitcher. We'd love it if you give us a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show. For staff writer Samuel Elias.
Hi, Sammy.
Executive producer Larry H. Russell, the founder of CLNS Media, Nick Chelso, and for my co-host John Duke, I'm Justin Poole, and thank you for listening to this week's edition of Celtic Stuff
Live.
Bye.
Celtic Stuff Live.
So I got to find this, this email. It's great.
From the it's home great office.
Because I'm still, dude, I'm reeling from this season and it's not just the postseason. You know what I mean? Like, so I just want to read this. Ah, here it is. All right. I won't say who it is. I don't know if they want to be identified. I definitely didn't tell them I was going to read it. So, I got an email and it said, are you guys just too bummed out to do a show wrapping up the season? I need to hear the pain. That was part of it. The schedule was part of it. The negativity was a lot of it. And I've just been busy as hell lately. And then when they just flopped out, the motivation was not there. So I said, we are definitely doing it. Last week just got away from us. Tonight we are recording after the lottery. Once we know what positions we are, parentheses, potentially drafting from. And then the response is that makes sense. Looking forward to it. I don't know what I was hoping for in the playoffs from these guys. I should have expected this result. Kyrie has a screw loose and that makes it a huge problem. Boy, is that true. He goes on to say it was more likely Smart was going to develop a serviceable three-pointer, which is hilarious because that is what happened. And then look at this. I don't think Kyrie's narcissism is fixable. I share that sentiment. And we didn't talk about this, but he references Kendrick Perkins being spot on Celtics beat regarding the problems with Kyrie and the team. And then finally he closes, which is hilarious. And you can decide if we want to name it this way or not. He says, I liked the Celtics suck live title from a while back. I guess this is Celtics still suck live. So we'll just call him Bill. But that was a fun email today. I'm not even sure if I had a chance to reply to it. I've just been spun out with work lately. But yeah, the Kendrick Perkins thing on Celtics beat. I'm surprised we didn't headline that a little bit. But you know, Perk was definitely, you know, kind of a recognized leader down the stretch of his career. Best way to say it was definitely around, you know, some pretty good clubs, watched a club go from, you know, atrocious to championship contending, got traded away for Jeff Green. So he had to deal with like the emotions that Isaiah Thomas, you know, has to deal with in a certain way, you know, really loving the franchise, watched his best friend early on get traded away, Al Jefferson. You know, they had lockers side by side. They came up together, much like Brown and Tatum did. You know, and now he's out here and he, you know, he's really criticizing Kyrie pretty heavily for being responsible. And I'm not sure that, you know, Kendrick said anything we didn't say, but it is always interesting to hear, you know, another player, especially one whose opinion, you know, especially in not only their opinion, but their locker room presence was so respected across the league.
Oh, and yeah, and I would, we had, CLNS was killing it this week between, Burke beat on with Adam Coffin on Celtics beat, Bob Ryan on with, Jeff Goodman on Good and Plenty, and then the Winning Plays podcast there with, you know, B-Rob and Rich Levine and, Mike Pina. Those guys did fantastic really doing this. So we didn't have to go on the air. We could take all the best of what their shows were and cobble this into our show. But, no, but in all seriousness, you know, Perk's comments, I think they were the types of things that needed to be said on the Celtics bench this season. You know, I think, Michael Shrewsbury is gone and I think good friend of Brad Stevens came over. But I think that with Walter McCarty gone, there's a need on that bench for veteran NBA leadership. And I think that's what Brad doesn't have.
Perk's coaching opportunity. Except maybe not now that he called out Kyrie if they keep Kyrie.
Probably not. But James Posey is a guy who was on the Cleveland bench the last couple of years, and that might be a good fit. Certainly understands Celtics basketball, understands the franchise, and is somebody who I think would be respected in the locker room and knows how the NBA game is played. Kyrie talked about that earlier in the season, how we need a 13-year vet on this bench. I think that speaks to that. And they need someone on that bench who will tell Kyrie exactly where the bear, you know, what's in the woods. And that's needed. And I don't know that Brad can be that guy. I think you need to have the good cop, bad cop thing and work that all out. But there certainly needs to be a firmer hand on that type of of play. And I think that Perk really was kind of speaking to that, is saying, look, we're holding each other accountable. He talked a lot about that with Adam. I think that, you know, this team with so many young players, that's impossible. You're not going to see that. I mean, in fact, that 08 team was almost the reverse. You had almost all, older players and a few young guys, Baby, Rondo and Perk. The script got flipped here this year, where you had just a few old guys and a lot of young guys. Awfully hard to allow those young guys to police themselves. We need more. I think that the lesson of this is that Brad needs more veteran savvy, more veteran gravitas on his bench to help deliver his message, and perhaps be folks that Kyrie can buy into that message, and lead that on the court.
That's a really good point. You're right. Brad needs help. Brad can't be the one who's constantly delivering the message. You kind of threw out the Micah Shrewsbury thing, and I only want to spend maybe another minute, but do you think that also, like, Micah's relationship with Brad was just, sort of a steadying force, so that when things were going on in the locker room, that he had somebody that he could sort of confide in and bounce things off, et cetera, and that maybe he's a little more, I want to say, alone, in the plight of a very difficult season? That I feel like Brad handled it well. He definitely handled it well in front of the media. Like, you couldn't have asked for anything more that way. I think a lot of people criticized, some of his lineup changes, or not necessarily starting lineup, but, some of the after timeout plays didn't seem to go as well as they had in years past, and, some of that, but I almost wonder if maybe, it wasn't just a change in culture for the players. Maybe that was a big impact, in the coaching ranks as well, for Brad especially, and just his ability to weather a difficult season.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think that relationship and having that consigliere, I suppose, kind of a, you need that voice that you can rely upon, that you can lean upon. And Micah has been that guy for Brad throughout his time here and before. I think it's going to be difficult for Brad to be without that. Now, we've got a lot of guys for holdovers who had been on Doc staff, Jamie Young and, oh my gosh, how am I blanking on, Larinaga? Those two guys have been through both generations. And we've got some guys who were brought in by Brad, but none of those guys played in the league. There isn't anybody who played in the league. So I think it's just about trying to find, coaches and everyone who can offer a different thing. I think the coaches have great relationships, particularly with the young guys. John Corrales did a great story on Larinaga and his work with Brad's, with Marcus Moore, Marcus Smart. We've seen similar stuff with Tatum and Jalen. But for a veteran guy, it's a very different dynamic. And so I think finding that guy, that veteran savvy type, who's been through the wars and can explain those things and keep people focused and centered, I think that's what's missing from that bench right now. And hopefully he can add that this summer.